AllBigCanines can be reached at www.allbigcanines, spelled out CANINES.com. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. All Big Canines. Big canine concept for all sizes of dogs. Hello, and welcome back to the All Big Canines podcast. My name is Tabitha Davies. I am a certified professional dog trainer, an associate certified dog behavior consultant here in the Palm Springs, California area. And I wanted to tackle a really complex topic, which has to do with the emotional distress that comes with having to choose a professional. It's a very loaded topic, so we're going to break up some key points. We have created a lengthy, in-depth YouTube video that you can either listen to or watch on our YouTube channel, All Big Canines, and that can help you with all of the intricacies of this topic. However, when you are going into actually trying to find someone, there's some key points that I want to make. And just briefly touch on each one. And if you want the more in-depth information, you can go ahead and go to our YouTube channel and watch that video. Okay, so the first thing to understand is that you want to hire a credentialed professional. This industry is completely unregulated. That means that your neighbor who decided one day that they are going to train dogs and they've had, you know, just a few weeks with a dog they were fostering, they've read a couple books maybe, if we're lucky, can wake up and decide, I'm a dog trainer. And they can create business cards and a website and go get a business license and start charging for services to clients, even with no sort of formal education or real experience. And that can be very problematic because hiring someone to do something and having them tell you that they can do it makes you believe that they are an educated and competent professional. And while there are some really amazing professionals out there who are not credentialed, that is usually due to several things. One of the main ones being systemic racism, another one being ableism, and another one being classism. Because credentialing is not inexpensive and our industry as a whole is extremely gatekept and is primarily led by white cis hetero women. And that's an important thing to understand when you are looking for a professional, because you can still find a very quality professional who knows what they're doing and has that experience and that education, but it does take some looking for. It's also less often to run into that than it is to run into a credentialed professional, especially nowadays, as credentials are things that people are obtaining universally. There are still some very big challenges that need to be worked on within our industry, but as a whole, I highly suggest that you start with a credentialed professional. And now if you find one that maybe is just not the right fit for you, you can always ask them for a reference. They are going to know who is not credentialed, but is still very good at what they do to refer you on to. Tip two, check out their social media. Check out their website. If you are not seeing a lot of videos of dogs, unless they're wearing prong collars, e-collars, choke chains, or they have multiple types of collars on at the same time, or every single dog in all the pictures is wearing a bandana, or some sort of frilly neck covering, those are big red flags that tools are being used and hidden, or tools are being used excessively. There should not be, from any quality program, videos or pictures with situations like that. I also hugely recommend that owners go to fearfreehappyhomes.com and check out the owner education portal and learn about fear, anxiety, and stress levels, and actually use that body language information and education to kind of assess those websites and social media pages on their own. The other aspect that's really important is, does this person's website or social media adequately convey what their philosophy and methodology are? Does it list any professional organizations that they're attached to? And if they say they're credentialed or they say that they're members of these organizations, go onto those websites and verify that they are and that they are members in good standing. There are times where you will find that someone is not a member. And if you happen to reach out to that organization because you don't find them as a member, maybe they were a member 10 years ago and they're not a member anymore. Or they have their status revoked because they violated their ethics policy. So you want to make sure that you take that extra step and kind of vet anybody, because people can make things seem really great with flowery words that aren't not necessarily somebody that you're going to want to work with, because those flowery words don't always answer our questions, but they kind of make us feel like, oh, we really want this. And that's a marketing tactic. And it's really important to understand that those who have really, really good marketing skills are not always the person that you want hired to work with your dog. So, number three. So, you found this great person. They have skills, they have experience, they're affiliated with professional memberships, they seem to be following evidence-based training, philosophies and practices. And so now you have to determine, is this person a right fit for me and my dog? And so now you get to ask them questions like, how will I be working with you and my dog? Is this something where you take my dog from you, which I find a red flag? Is this something where we work together? Are we doing group classes in person? Are we doing virtual? By the way, just a sidebar here, virtual is not any less effective than in person if it is taught by someone who is experienced and knows what they're doing. Because we have to be experienced in teaching people and not just teaching dogs. And that is a huge component that is very, very undernoted by the general public, is that we are actually 75% of what we do is teaching you and 25% is teaching the dog. So is this person now the person that I want to work with? So what does it look like for me to work with you if I'm bringing my dog to you for help? What is going to happen if my dog does something wrong? What is going to happen if my dog does something right? What is going to happen if I'm really struggling with getting this stuff to function at home, but my dog is doing great in class or when you're here? And the answers to those questions should be along the lines of, if your dog does something wrong, we're going to go ahead and reassess the situation and see what needs to be modified on our end as the instructor, the person teaching the dog and the human, so that we can make it effective. And if the response to what happens if my dog gets it right is anything other than your dog gets paid, gets either food or toy reinforcement or priority access to an area or an activity that they love. Or sometimes it's even engaging in the unwanted behavior that you're working towards, because PREMAC principle is using the more likely behavior to reinforce the less likely behavior, which you do over and over again until that less likely behavior becomes the norm. That less likely behavior is happening all the time, and the unwanted behavior is really not happening anymore. You trade it out. And then when you ask them things like, if my dog doesn't seem to be understanding something, or I'm not understanding something, and I'm going home and I'm struggling, what happens? That person should say, well, we're going to sit down, you and me, and we're going to talk about what it is that's not going the way it needs to go. Maybe it's a management issue. Maybe it's that the dog is allowed to run all over the house unsupervised, and so they're peeing in the bedroom. Or maybe it's a, the dog is not being tethered to your waist and you're not having people come in, and or you're not giving them reinforcements in a timely enough manner when people are coming in the door. So it's a reassessment of the whole situation. What can that person do to help make sure that you understand what you need to do at home when they're not around, to get the same behavior from your dog, to reinforce the same behavior, and to make sure that you guys progress? When you start getting answers like, we correct the dog, we punish the dog, or we use the leash or the collar to communicate with the dog, those are all big red flags that you should really stay away from. So the next tip that I have is actually our final tip. And this is to understand what is expected of you and what it is you expect of the training professional that you're hiring or the behavior consultant that you're hiring. And what are the responsibilities of both of you? What are the rights? What are the contractual obligations? So make sure you know what the cancellation policy is. Make sure that you understand what the reschedule policy is. Make sure you understand how their forms of communication need to be. Make sure you understand office hours and understand about how long it's going to take for you to get contacted back. Make sure that you know what to do If you have a question at 9:30 on a Saturday night, which most people aren't going to answer you at 9:30 on a Saturday night. So are you going to get answered Monday or Tuesday? Because office hours, right? Make sure that you understand when your payment is made, when you start. Make sure that you understand all of the intricacies of your program and how your goals are going to work, and that you have discussed realistic goals with that professional. Because if you have a dog that's reactive, aggressive, and every time that you go to the dog park, there's a dog fight, if that person is really going to want to create a goal where you can take your dog to the dog park without getting into a fight, that's not a realistic goal in most cases. In most cases, that is a goal that the owner wants, but it's not in the best interest of the dog. And part of our job as professionals is really having that discussion with you so we can get your dog to be calm and happy and engaged with you walking past another dog on the street. But why would we take a dog who doesn't even enjoy that and put them in a position where they're running around inside of a dog park? So realistic goals, so that we know that we're going to achieve them, but we can also have that discussion with the human about why something might not necessarily be the best option and what we can replace it with that meets all of those needs that the person has. Once you've gotten all those things answered and you're comfortable with that choice, that's your trainer. And I really hope that you enjoy the journey that you're going to take with them. Because training in itself and behavior consulting in itself is a physical, financial, and emotional investment into your dog and into your family. And you're inviting someone into your home to work with you and to work with your animal in a way that really you kind of bond with the person. Like for us, if you're one of our clients, you're a part of the club. It doesn't matter if you were a client 10, 15 years ago, or if you're a client 3 weeks ago. You are forever a part of the club. You get to participate in our club activities. You get to participate in some of our online stuff. You will always be one of our very appreciated members of the community. And I know I say community, but some of my clients live across the other side of Canada, and a couple live in Ireland. So I wholeheartedly encourage you to take this journey to understand what is best for you and your dog. And if you want to go through that video, it is a little bit longer, but you can always play it while you're making dinner and just listen to it like it is a podcast. It does have visual presentations on it as well. And that is to really hammer down how to kind of get through all of the muck that is marketing buzzwords and flowery language that gets used and thrown around a lot. Because even there's times where things are listed as positive reinforcement based, and they're very much not. But when you look at it on its face, without further digging, it can seem that way. So I wish you the absolute best on this journey with your dog, and I'm glad that you've taken this step to consider training. And I hope that if you have further questions, you reach out to us, or you reach out to one of the many organizations, such as the Pet Professional Guild, the Pet Professional Accreditation Board, the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, the Certification Council for Professional Dog Trainers, the Association for Professional Dog Trainers, Fear Free Pets, or Do More With Your Dog, just as an example of a few, where you can get some answers to questions, as well as the College of Veterinary Behaviorists and the American Society of Animal Behavior Vets, because that is another big one for information and position statements on training and how this should all go. Enjoy the rest of your day.